Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight is a special night because we are celebrating the finale of Season 3 here on the show. And with that, we have Scott, the Licensed Taxi Driver.
Good evening, folks. Glad to have you join us. And Happy New Year.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Also celebrating this is the Triple B.
I am. Good evening.
Yes. On tonight's show, folks, we are celebrating our show, of course, and ourselves, mostly me. However, we're also going to be dealing with a wine that was highly celebrated this year. Kind of. It got first place at, well, it's like the Sacramento Wine Challenge, you know, that River Challenge.
That great?
Riverside?
Yes.
That Rivers- great?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like that. We're actually drinking a wine, a number one wine of the year, award winner. And you said, the Spectator, you're drinking, oh my gosh. No, not the Spectator. What? James Suckling? He doesn't have a list, but the Enthusiast does. So we're drinking the number one wine on their top 100. And you say, wow, is that Camus? Is that Duckhorn? Could that be Haute Brion?
What's the price point?
No. Oh, yeah.
Hundreds and
screaming,
hundreds of
screaming eagles.
It could be Harlan.
Yeah.
Scarecrow.
Kilsilla Creek?
Kilsilla Creek. It could be, but it's not. Actually, they picked up Prosecco this year.
What?
They did. And... And it's Nino Franco Rustico Prosecco Superiore, which is $20 of your money.
What?
Yes, the Enthusiast picked this wine as their number one wine of all wines in the entire year. Nice job, Enthusiast.
Well, let's see how good it is.
It's true.
I do have a question before we get started. Mm-hmm. I feel like for a minute, Moscato was having a moment. Uh-huh. All these people that never drank wine were drinking Moscato.
Okay.
Right? Now I feel like Prosecco is having a moment.
Well, that's...
Like everyone that doesn't drink wine drinks Prosecco. People feel like they're so fancy drinking it. Do you think that the wine enthusiast has in some way caved to that? There's no way. I don't care how good this is. There is no way that a Prosecco should be the number one wine of the year.
Well, let's be frank, though. Prosecco is like a cheap version of champagne. Very cheap version of champagne.
You always mock it and stop calling me Frank.
Okay, well, it doesn't use Muscadel or Moscato grapes or that crap. It doesn't.
It doesn't.
I mean, it uses proper white grapes.
That's fair, but I just feel like Prosecco is very trendy right now.
It is, but the thing is, Prosecco, the term is trendy, but pure, straight, real classic Prosecco like this is not. That's the thing. I mean, this is not a sweet wine, first of all. This is going to be bone dry. It is.
We hope.
Yeah.
That's, you know, if it's going to be this wine to get the number one rating, you expect it to be not just dry, but as Rob said, bone dry, extremely dry.
I just feel like we have been caught in this trap so many times, drinking a supposedly wonderful wine, and we drink it and can't make it through a glass.
Nevertheless, though, when we come back, folks, we are going to explain this wine, explain ourselves, and explain the unlicensed taxi driver. So you better sit back and relax for a while.
Join the ride.
Because we're going to have a 17-hour show here on the Wine Vault. Folks, there are many ways to enjoy the Wine Vault. The first way is on iTunes. Look for the Wine Vault. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Beyond that, we are on Facebook at thewinevault.rs. We are on Twitter at thewinevaultpodcast. And our website is thewinevault.org. You can also drop us a line at winevault@outlook.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Craig Walters, Allstate Insurance, at 740-862-4585. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the Nino Franco Rustico Prosecco Superiore on our Season 3 finale.
Excellent job on the accent, by the way.
Thank you.
A nice little ring, a little sing-songy.
One thing, we're also going to, during our potpourri, we're going to name our wine of the year.
Wow.
Just like the enthusiast did with this one.
I know. No spoiler alerts, but I don't know that this is going to be it.
I know. So one thing we're going to do with this wine, we're going to start drinking it now. And then we're going to talk about the reviews as we go along, probably okay. because this wine needs to be drank because we have the effervescence.
Yep.
All right. Now.
It does look the part.
Oh, it does.
It's super beautiful in a glass.
One thing about Prosecco, just as a tip, it has a, it's not as, it's it isn't fermented as, under as much pressure. As champagne is. And it's also done in big vats as opposed to it's just the style. Hmm. It's an easier style. It's easier to make. So you have a little more frothiness. You see how that is?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the bubbles tend to be a little more frothy. Mm-hmm. They also don't tend to last as long.
Okay.
Yeah. So hence why we're going to break with tradition and we're going to go in and drink before we do the things we do first.
I don't know. I don't know how old you have to be, but I will never get over being really happy when I see bubbles in a glass.
True.
Isn't it kind of like...
Yeah, no, I think there's a certain childlike joy to it.
Yeah.
It really is. It's one of the few things in life that means celebration.
Yes, like it is.
Bubbly, effervescent, sparkling wine.
It's a quick mood booster.
Sweet it's pear really great. On the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little honeysuckle.
Did you get this almost that honeysuckle, that floral thing's almost on the side of soapy, just almost towards like a soapy smell? And I don't mean that in a bad way.
I don't
way.
Know what you mean. Oh, I have to wait to provide my review.
Thank you, James.
Assholes. Yes.
Sweet pear.
Definitely that, sweet pear.
That floral honeysuckle thing.
I think I get like a lemon peel.
Yes.
Maybe
that's excellent.
Maybe
nice
that's
job.
That's a better descriptor of
what I'm calling
that slightly soapy. Mm-hmm. It's that it's not pungent. It's not zest, but lemon peel. The white side.
Yes, the white side. That's exactly it. Yep. Oh, you're drinking.
I'm going to say that my first comment is this is the real deal sparkler in that it hits your palate and the bubbles just explode while they're in your mouth.
They do.
It's really wonderful. Yep. If it had just that, this would pass the test. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it would be wine of the year passing the test just because of this effervescence. It does it. Oh, somebody's making faces.
No, it's fine. It isn't champagne. Let's just start off with that.
Yeah, it's Prosecco.
It doesn't have the same level of, explosion that Scott's referring to. I'm thinking the Rotary Estates right now. One thing it does have that's interesting on this finish, it gets a little bit of a spiciness to it. Spicy note.
I also, I think when you drink champagne, it is usually crisp. It has a crispness to it.
Mm-hmm.
Prosecco doesn't have that.
No, exactly.
Which is fine. It just isn't. I love that crisp feeling of it.
Slight white grapiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I do have to say, as you were saying that, I was kind of in my mind because, not of late, but we care for Prosecco versus champagne. It's just because, for a while we were buying Prosecco. Mm-hmm. This one is more towards that, though, than any Prosecco I've probably ever had. Mm-hmm. More towards that crispness.
Yeah.
It's not like Rob drew a comparison to the Rotary's Estate, and that explodes in your mouth.
Yeah.
But this for a Prosecco, this is really effervescent on the palate.
Yeah. Yes. This
for Prosecco.
Yes. It has also a slaty minerality in the mid palate.
Scott Bingo, ding, ding, ding.
I know. Mm-hmm. I just beat you to it. Stole your thunder.
It beat me.
No,
I'm assuming you can make mimosas and stuff out of Prosecco.
That's what we did.
Oh, that's what you did. Okay.
I mean, Prosecco with the infamous liqueur that's...
Oh.
Now, Prosecco, this is a Brut, so this is the driest of the version, but they also have an extra dry and a dry, just like they do with champagne. So it gets sweeter as it goes along. This is the Prosecco... Let's see. Valdo Abenda. Is that what we said? Valdo Bienda?
Oh.
Valdoba.
Oh, Valdoba.
Bia.
Valdobia. We don't know.
Found Obia. Yeah. It's down there at the bottom.
It's the highest level of Prosecco.
Valdo Biadene.
Valdo Biadene.
Yeah, maybe. Folks, maybe. If you really do Italian, I'm sure you're laughing hysterically at us.
And they use the Glera grape. That is the grape of Prosecco.
Okay.
And just like Chianti, this is also DOCG, just like that. The X amount of percentage has to be the Glera grape. I believe it's 100% in this one, but Triple B will go through that for us here in a little bit. Triple B, would you like to review or read some of the reviews
on
this?
I would love to.
Except for one.
Okay.
And you know which one that is.
Well, I feel like we should probably start with the wine enthusiast's review, right?
Possibly. Yeah.
So they said, Nino Franco's non-vintage sparkling Rustico Prosecco is unquestionably the world's finest value and a high-quality champagne look-alike. The non-vintage, they've mentioned that twice. Light-bodied Prosecco say the word.
Diabene.
Rustico offers gorgeously elegant, fresh, lively fruit, notes of bread dough and citrus, and persistent effervescence.
It persisted.
Nevertheless.
Although, right as I was watching Rob top his glass off, his effervescence had stopped there momentarily.
Yeah, yep.
It needed a little boost.
A little boost there.
Mm-hmm. Rob, you didn't tell us what we're drinking out of this evening.
Well, two of us are drinking out of Riedel. And one of us isn't.
I will tell you.
I never learned how to read.
Is it Wolf of Wall Street where they drink out of those?
The tulip glasses, yeah. We're drinking out of Riedel champagne glasses. I think the Veritas series. And then Scott is drinking out of a champagne flute of nondescript. But I actually like those flutes quite a bit.
Yeah. Champagne flute, honestly.
Yeah.
This is just my opinion. Champagne flutes.
Mm-hmm.
Champagne flutes. Champagne flute. If you're going to go cheap on something, champagne flute's not a bad one to go cheaper
right.
on.
Right.
Those things I had used for years, and I actually never bought these for myself. They were a gift. I never anticipated ever buying any of the champagne flutes than what I had. Mm-hmm. I forget what brand they were, but they were what we sold at the Andersons. The wine glassers. They're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
That's my take.
Mm. So
I'm not kidding. I'm looking for the bread dough.
Mm-hmm. The enthusiasts, by the way, gave it 94 of their points. A copious amount of points. No, I don't. I either. No.
They also said aromas of white spring flower. Bartlett pear and citrus waft out the glass. The racy, refreshing palate is full of energy, offering crisp yellow apple, lemon drop, and orange zest. We said lemon, but very close.
Well, and I think also the descriptors of the nose are very close to what we had.
Yep. Orange zest flavors bounced by vibrant acidity. A pearlage, I don't know that word, of small, refined, and continuous bubbles provides the silky backdrop.
I mean, pearlage is volume, maybe? Large amount?
Yes. And I am next. This is
God.
James Suckley.
Hey, Jim, how you doing tonight?
Better than you.
Of course.
I provided
Can we retire him in 2020?
No. No, I'm just getting stronger.
He's like luggage.
Yes.
Like luggage.
Can't ever get rid of it.
Okay. Yeah.
Herpes.
That's better.
Just keeps popping up noticeably on your face.
Yes.
Poor people.
Do you have experience with that disease? Yes.
Yeah. You're on the show almost every week. Yes. I have experience with that
disease. Talk about Tim Atkins again. Anyway, I provided this wine 92 of my points. I did not feel it was up to snuff. And I wrote, a delicious and fresh Prosecco that is dry and clean, with subtle lemon and fennel notes, and some, and some spicy pears. Medium-bodied, fine bubbles, and a fruity finish.
I just black out when you do the impersonation.
I've been told of that about me before. yes.
Do you know his voice sounds like that?
No.
You just do that?
Yes.
Oh, gross.
I have no idea what he sounds like. I didn't watch Masterclass. I think he just sounds like this. James Suckley.
What's the deal with Wilfred Wong. What do we know about him?
His name has alliteration in it. And this is Wilfred Wong.
Now listen, his review says one of the top sparkling deals in the world, the non-vintage, blah, 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 exhibits a beautifully refined mousse.
Mousse.
Same. It's a term for describing the bug.
No, I was talking about the woodland animal, the mousse.
Oh, perlage means?
Perlage is the Italian synonym for the mousse.
I was actually talking about a mousse.
A beautifully refined mousse in fresh tart apple flavors.
Bullwinkle?
The wine's crisp finish pairs it perfectly with delicate appetizers.
The mousse is my favorite animal with antlers. Fun fact.
Hey, Rocky!
What?
Oh, Rocky. How you doing?
Second favorite is the antelope. Third favorite is... I don't know any others. Is the antelope real? Someone told me that it wasn't.
Jim obviously...
Wait a minute, that's a unicorn.
Jim obviously needs to go to the zoo.
Why?
Work up on his...
They'll keep me there.
No, but they won't.
The tasting notes provided by Nino Franco say fruity and flowery, mainly notes of Williams pear and white flowers, soft and delicate texture in the mouth, matches are finger food, light hors d'oeuvres, and delicate dishes.
Yeah, I would see that. Light hors d'oeuvres. I mean, when you talk about food pairings, a little canapé.
An interesting point that the winemaker's tasting notes kind of undersell it a little bit. I really think, you know.
But I didn't think it was that good. They're like, eh.
But, you know, whether we think this is the number one wine enthusiast, that it's worthy of.
I'm sure it is worthy of the wine enthusiast topic.
It's very good, though. This is very good.
We've all sucked it down.
It's bright. Mm-hmm. It does have some nice characteristics. Mm-hmm. It's just a little short of being complex, but it's fucking Prosecco, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is as complex a Prosecco as you're going to get.
And I will say, don't want to undersell how much the bubbly does lift your mood. I mean, it is so much fun to drink something like this. And
I'm just every sip I just go, I wish this was champagne.
Aww. Well, no, I just
snob.
Think it is snobby, but it's a different type of wine, Rob. You would say that to us if we were drinking a Grenache and we were saying, I wish this was a cab, you would say, but you have to judge it on the kind of grape it is.
I am.
You say that to us?
I am.
Probably in a more mocking way.
You would give us up and down the road about it. This is a Prosecco, and you need to judge it for what it is.
I'm going to take my shoe off and beat it on the table. So.
Driving over us. Not many people got that reference. Leaving us in a ditch.
Leaving you in a ditch?
Yes, you would leave us in a ditch by the side of the road.
What does that have to do with anything? I would. That's true. But
drive by.
You would give us a lot of grief about that, and so we should give it back to you. This is a Prosecco, and you need to judge it as a Prosecco.
Look,
it will never be a champagne.
Comrade, I have not reviewed it yet. So
I know where you're headed.
You don't know nothing. Das you Fadania. Think you do. Das Fadania. Yes.
I think that this should be our New Year's Eve drink.
No. No, it's not going to be our New Year's Eve drink.
Come on, you can do worse.
I'm going to go to Scott's and drink it.
I can do worse.
You could do worse.
I can. It's called J. Roget. No, it's not.
And I was going to say, and we all have done much worse.
God. Well, yeah.
I mean, this is a nice glass of wine.
It is. It's also, it's refreshing. It's light. It's mass appeal. I don't know very many people that would drink this and not enjoy it, minus Rob being the Russian judge on this. But honestly,
don't know.
It's delightful.
It's all propaganda.
And for a dry Prosecco, some people say, I don't like it too dry, I don't like it too dry. It has, the fruit that it exhibits is a sweeter fruit.
Yeah.
The apple in it is sweet.
And it's a wink of that.
Yeah, and it's just a wink of sweet fruit, which is what you want it to be. So I think... Even for those who say, I don't like dry champagne. It's not champagne, but I don't like dry wines. This would be like...
Scott, I agree wholeheartedly. This is not, in fact, champagne. Or California sparkling wine, or Oregon sparkling wine, or Virginia sparkling wine.
What?
Or New Mexico sparkling wine.
Yes. I am going to challenge you to say two nice things about this wine.
No, I will say many things. Let me say this. I like the effervescence, but what I like actually is it has, when they say that spicy pear, it does have a little bit of a spicy finish, and that's nice. It is a different experience. So you have to retrain your mind. When you drink something like this and you're thinking, oh, it's champagne. It's not. It's not champagne. I joke. It's a different product. You cannot judge it as champagne, even though I'm joking and saying I am. Because it is Prosecco. Prosecco is completely different. But you can taste the difference there. And this is the one of the finest Proseccos there is. Except for their vintage, which is $50. But it also got a 94 as well. But this is an exquisite Prosecco. This is the best there is. I mean, you know that. And Nino Franco has been doing the Rustico, and it's always been this. So back when I was selling wines, it was around. This has been out since 1919. And that was what we would recommend for a Prosecco. Now, the Prosecco always has this mindset of, you're saying it is, oh, it's sweet. Prosecco isn't sweet. It's the Italian version of champagne.
Yep.
It's just done differently. It's done more simplistically. Maybe more intelligently. But nevertheless.
You could argue that it is because you're gonna by the differences in technique, which Rob talked about earlier, you're more able to hone it in and get a better product where the classic champagne technique, you better get it right.
Mm. Yep. And by the way, this also got a 90 from Wines and Spirits because I knew you were excited about that, and a 90 from the decanter.
Oh.
It's not decant. It's decanter. They can, not can't, right? They're negative already.
Decanté?
It tastes vital and fresh. That's what decanter said.
Yes, it does.
Wine and Spirits said that it had a nutty savor. I don't get that. I can't find that in there.
Maybe that's the pepper, what Rob's calling the spicy, the peppery finish. And it's that pepper, it's almost, We had a bottle of wine last night that we were talking about.
I was saying,
you know, it might be just a little past its ideal time to drink. Mm. And Rob noted that it had just a little presence of like smoky to it.
Yeah.
This is almost that. It's not quite that. But this, the pepper on the finish, it's not really like a pungent black pepper. It's just this little peppery thing.
Yeah. It's just a little whiff. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back with a potpourri where we reveal our top wine of the year. Our top wine, not the enthusiast, not the spectator that you can't buy or spend. Chateau Bâton Lionville or something like that. Something that's now $189. Screw that shit. It's us. We're going to do it. What was last year? Turley or Baron or some shit? Who knows? Hecula was last year's. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to name our winery of the year. So we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. We're back, folks. So, the Wine Vault Awards. Oh, my, folks. Now, first of all, Wine of the Year. We'll start off with Wine of the Year. Now, what are the qualifications? Score.
Yeah.
But also repeat enjoyment. That's mine. And let me just name some contestants here so you'll have some idea. We had, and this is season 3, mind you. So, Turley Old Vine Zin, the 16 vintage, is one.
Vegas odds 6-5 per Caesars Sportsbook.
Rayburn Chardonnay.
Yeah, they're no longer taking. Yeah. No longer taking bets.
Duckhorn, their Chardonnay. Mercer, Horse Heaven Hills Cab. The Terama Hill, Monastrell. Rodney Strong, Russian River Pinot. The Centine. But that's the 13. So that's one of those things that doesn't really get much consideration, considering the fact it's not current vintage.
Where's the Rodney Strong Pinot?
Down into the left. Rotorua Estate. Mercer. We said Mercer. Thomas Goss. Castillo de Abolo. Their Chianti Classico. The Santa Emma Cabernet. The CS, the Substance Cabernet, which is fantastic. Chalk Hill, Pinot Noir. Martin Ray, Pinot Noir. The Zingari. The Zingari is another one. Yeah.
Off to your right.
Yes.
Up above in an elevated station is the Franciscan Estates.
Mm. Oh, Magnificat. Yeah, Magnificat. Yeah, that's another one. But that, you know.
Did you mention Terama Hill?
Yes, I did.
How many of all the ones that you named, how many was the Triple B on? How many of those did I actually taste?
All of them, I'm sure. Well, both the Duckhorn, the Rayburn, the Turley, the Santa Emma, the Martin Ray, CS.
Not true. I tasted Santa Emma off the air.
But you did taste it. Mercer, you've had that.
CS off the air. Mercer
totally
off the air.
Throwing wine guy under the bus here. Editorial comment, unlicensed, rarely to never has any input at what wines are shared with Triple B and in what order
that
they're drank.
True.
So
often,
who's responsible for that?
100% the wine guy.
Okay.
We come downstairs to the wine vault, and you know what? Something's already open, decanted, and I just assume every single week it's going to be worse than it was the week before, which is sometimes difficult to imagine.
We've had listener feedback that ad nauseum, why does the Triple B get screwed on the wine selection?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just talking about listener feedback. I'm not criticizing anyone.
I'll drink something. Much. It'll be so terrible. I'll be like, my stomach kind of hurts. I'll go upstairs. I'll go to bed. Whatever. Rob will come up. Wake me up. Becky, we had this amazing wine.
Oh, we did.
We scored it in the 90s. It went in the Hall of Fame. Can you believe it?
It's wonderful.
Actually, I can believe that because you know what? The first wine was such a piece of junk. I knew you wouldn't drink two pieces of junk in a row.
Now,
yes.
We have had some better experiences of late.
Oh, yeah.
The first show wines have been better.
Marginally.
Of late.
I will say with the addition of the Value Wall of Fame that I have had more good cheap wine. But as far as a good, more expensive wine, I do not know the last time that happened. No.
Well, I mean, you know, Zingari was $15.99, wasn't it?
Yeah, right.
She didn't really care
it's
for that
pretty
as well
pricey.
As we did. Yeah, not
so
much.
Well,
and do you know that I had two Chardonnays?
So
that
I.
goes back to my theory that you drink whites when I'm on the show because you view whites as a woman's drink.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
I'm glad that
I don't even really like Chardonnay.
Rebuttal.
He has no argument.
I don't care. It's fine. Sure.
Do you notice what we're drinking tonight?
Yeah.
Prosecco.
Yeah. It's good though.
It's because girls like that.
It is good.
And Scott, who's a girl. You know. So
right.
Steve
Scott,
wondered.
What's your nomination for Steve wine?
What do you nominate?
Well, so just a.
No, you're going to draw this out, aren't you?
Them off. We've hit three whites that made the list. It's been a long time, but classic.
Don't be stupid.
Rob mentioned, you know, Rotor Estate talking about it's not champagne, but you know, folks, it's just a classic. It's so good.
Don't
the
say
Chardonnays were good, both good, yeah. But and they're both in a similar manner, kind of classics for the varietal.
Mm-hmm.
The Rayburn for the money is tough to beat, but just by default, the whites don't make the cut for wine vault wine of the year.
They're a woman's drink.
Yeah, because
no,
I didn't exclude them.
It's just, you know, if it's not a Turley White Coat, then it's just not eligible for wine of the year. I'm sorry.
The White Coat is overrated.
Huh, so you would never make it onto the wine enthusiast editorial board.
No.
Obviously not.
Obviously.
Which I feel
not.
Like is a point of pride. That's like a notch in, like a good job, feather in your cap.
Like, yeah.
No, let's, but let's be honest. Those are We enjoyed those. I would buy any of those three again. But when you compare it to the Turley OVZ, really good example of that wine. And simple, straightforward, but I couldn't pick any of those over Terramahill. It's just like, it just doesn't pass the, what would I like to drink tonight?
Yeah.
Terramahill or one of those three? Terramahill.
What?
Would I pick Rayburn, Duckhorn, Rotor Estate, or Terramahill? I can, maybe on New Year's Eve, I'd pick one of the others over Terramahill.
Can I ask you a question? Can you, can you just tell us what your choice is, your nomination? You don't know, do you? I know.
I know what it's so I'm going to pick.
Go ahead.
It is, but it has to be the Turley OVZ. Mm. It just is. It's that. I like the Mercer. What I drank the most of is the CS.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure which order. I think those would be my top three.
Okay.
Not in any particular order, other than I know Turley is my choice for the Wine Vault Wine of the Year, Turley OVZ. And that's totally biased, I'll give you that, but
that's why we're here.
If you could drink one of these two times a week, it'd be Old Fine Sin from Turley.
I can't imagine that life.
But you...
oh, yeah, I would take it in a heartbeat. I cannot imagine that life.
I mean... Yeah. Particularly, you know, something that's just a couple years on it, you know, a couple, you know, so that you've sold it for a couple years, so it's got a little opportunity to mature. Yeah. And it's not expensive, folks, if you can get on the mailing list.
Yeah.
Rob, I think it's gone up a little bit since I've been on the list. It started 25. It's 25.
Plus shipping, about 30 out the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is it on wine.com?
It isn't.
Oh, it isn't. It's not available.
I think retail's like high 40s, 50.
Maybe not even that, 40s.
Yeah. I've seen it in retail settings around 40 some.
Yeah, 40 is a lot for a weeknight wine.
Yeah, but, you know, Scott's elitist. Even though we're a value-priced wine show, he picks the expensive one.
When did we become a value-priced wine show?
I don't know.
Well, that's our specialty.
I never agreed to that.
Value and budget.
I would say the first taping of the evening is the value-priced
wine. Yeah, I would agree with that as well.
And then the evening, late evening taping would be the, like, let's bust something delicious out.
I mean, we're not.
It has been.
We're not framed on $10 wines or $8 wines, but.
Yeah,
no, it's not the norm that we go over $20.
Right,
it really isn't.
Right.
So the triple B.
So, I have more that I'll say about Turley later. You cannot find a flaw with Turley.
I thought though we originally said we were not going to count Turley in these.
I know. I was going to say that
we did.
You almost have to exempt them.
You have to exempt Turley, even though the 16 Old Vines in was magnificent. It was a triumph.
What I was going to say about Turley is it is in a league of its own. And I said earlier when we were off the air, we all spent the most money easily with Turley. We all wish we could have spent 10 times the amount that we did with Turley. Don't you? I wish that we could have fulfilled our allotment every single time, times five. I wish I got an allotment. I wish Rob got an allotment.
Where would you put it?
It's difficult. It's difficult to compare Turley to something else. And I wrote down, you know, the Barry White song, My First, My Last, My Everything? That's Turley. It is my everything.
So we agree Turley is not allowed to be.
Well, it's kind of like the college award shows. You know, there's the Heisman, and then there's the Davey O'Brien, and then there's that.
Right.
Turley wins the Heisman, but what are we picking for the Davey O'Brien?
I agree with that. Right. Turley runs away. So my nominee, which, again, we're exempting Turley because it would win in a landslide, mine would be Santa Emma. I did not get to drink that on the air with Robin Scott. Oh. God only knows what we drank the first wine of the night. It was probably something that was hideous and terrible, and we couldn't even take five sips of it, would
Chardonnay
be my guess.
Night, probably.
So I drank it off the air. Rob had it. First of all, I think the bottle is truly beautiful. It really, really is. There's so many bottles that are kind of like has a lot of weird script on them. I think they think that makes it look fancy, but I just think that this bottle is really beautiful, and it looks like you're buying a nice gift for somebody. It's priced at $13.99, pretty affordable for anybody. And what I remember most about this wine is that it was had a lot of depth to it, and it was almost like a broody cab, and that's exactly what you're looking for in a cab, where you kind of like you drink through it and you're tasting different things throughout it, and that's what this wine was for me. It was very memorable, especially at the price that it is.
True. Okay. True.
So since Turley's only eligible for the Heisman, and we're voting for the Davy O'Brien, I'm going to add to my top three the Martin Ray.
Martin Ray Pinot.
Yeah, that really did stand out to me, to add to the other three. Mm-hmm. But I got to go with what I've shared with other people, what I liked probably of the ones on this list that I've drank the most of is the Substance CS. Mm-hmm. And part of that for me is the overall appreciation of the wine. It may not be better than the Martin Ray, but it's got more mass appeal, and it's
not as good as, I don't think it's as good as Mercer.
I wouldn't argue that, but I like it better.
I think CS drinks like a $30 or $40 bottle of wine.
And it's, you know, you and I, Rob, we talk about that mouthfeel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you talk about that elevated mouthfeel, or, you know, if you said it once, you said it a million times, the Turley mouthfeel. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this has that, but it has a wonderful mouthfeel. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. Those, you know, you're mincing hairs when you're picking between those two. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should drink more of the Mercer, but that's what I'm going with. That's my choice there. But I have no problem with flip-flopping those two.
Mm-hmm. Well, my choice, folks. If I were doing a top three.
I'm going to move this chair.
In the top three, Rayburn Chardonnay would be in there. Partly because it was a triumph. Especially for an inexpensive Chardonnay. Wonderful wine.
And he's just trying to get the girls' vote.
Well, no, and for you, you did not expect to like that as well as we did.
Well, I had the Julia James, so I know what Chardonnay could be. So that's one. But Mercer Cabernet is another one. Okay. Powerful, big Cabernet, big brooding Cabernet. But my wine of the year, and I think that this would probably, given what Scott said, make it the wine of the year, would be the Martin Ray Sonoma County Pinot Noir. At $17 for a Pinot, that thing
$17.99.
Okay, yeah, that thing really stuck in my mind. Not that the Santa Emma isn't good; it is very good, and Santa Emma is a very well-priced wine. But the Martin Ray was a wonderful wine in a varietal that is interesting, and the Pinophile would approve as well. But
such an excellent point.
Yes, from my perspective. The best, the most interesting, exciting wine that we had that surprised me the most this year was the Martin Ray Sonoma County Pinot Noir.
I think similarly, you know, we were.
I knew the CS was going to be good. Mm-hmm. That was, and I like it. I like it a lot, but I like it. The it didn't surprise me, and I have had other things that I could replace it with Mercer or even some stuff from.
Well, it's
Columbia Crest and whatnot.
Yeah,
you can find things that kind of emulate that.
Get it from that region. You're going to have, but good I can't. Quality.
And we had really good Pinots from the Chalk Hill to the Rodney Strongs, and the Rodney Strong Russian River is a really good Pinot. But it ain't this. It isn't Martin Ray.
This was by far a couple notches ahead of those
because it had the lithy lightness to it, with still having power. It was just a wonderful balance, and it was one of the better Pinots I've ever seen under 25.
Yeah, and it had more of the classic funk than the other ones did. Not that they didn't express some of it, but it was funky.
Imbalanced, though. So that would be my choice. What does everybody think?
What? So
I like all of our choices. I wouldn't be upset with any of them.
Mm-hmm. I think we flush this out as a group. I think Turley wins the Heisman Trophy, yep. And it needs to be noted on our website that it is actually the best wine of the year. But our Davey O'Brien choices 1, 2, 3. I think. Do we have a consensus on Martin Ray? Do you like Martin Ray? Can you live with Martin Ray as the number one?
For sure. Yeah.
Well, then two. You know, I think for sure CS has to be in our top three. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
I put CS at 3 and Santa Emma at 2.
Really?
Santa Emma at its price, for the fact it's Chilean, is interesting.
You know, and I think it deserves some discussion about Mercer. But,
I would be, if I were buying one, I would buy Mercer over CS. But I haven't had the newest vintage of CS to say that.
I do think it's worth noting that the only one I had on the air was Martin Ray.
It's worth noting, I suppose.
But this
let that be on the official record.
But this goes to that these really are qualifying for our top three because
you've had Mercer?
Multiples of the Mercer and
have we had Mercer?
Oh yes, you were really enthralled by it.
He sent me a text when you had it that you just went. Cuckoo. One of your Friday night steak nights, maybe.
Yeah.
Don't recall.
That's like our standing.
Although, Scott, we haven't aired the Quintus de Carvalhas yet. So Duero. And that would win. That would be. But it hasn't aired.
It's so weird. I don't have a score up there, so I wouldn't know.
You also, there was another Hall of Fame wine before that we drank. So.
Mm. I wonder what pit slop we had on the first show.
It was really good. Mm-hmm. That was amazing.
It's probably Winking Out or some other kind of extremely budget.
Well, he's probably never going to air that because that would involve him biting his tongue on my total wine purchases. Mm-hmm. Because that was a total wine purchase.
It was amazing.
It was really amazing. It was really
amazing. Why it hasn't aired.
Well,
and we just did it. But still. So, Martin Ray, Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. Pinot Noir, Wine of the Year for the Wine Vault. But Winery of the Year is next, but we're going to do a little bit. We've discussed a little bit, and Winery of the Year isn't necessarily something that gets the highest scores. It's the one that we have noticed.
Yeah, I was thinking, if we were doing our first year, it would probably be Ravenswood.
It was.
The wine that totally mm-hmm. shocked us all.
It was.
So good. We drank it all the time, mm-hmm. and it's still great, but we just don't drink it that often.
Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you. We do. I've still got. We had our dude's Christmas night recently, and I popped a Napa.
Oh.
Over Thanksgiving, I had a 12 Napa that we took. Took a Sonoma. Took a Barishia.
Huh?
And it's, it doesn't. It's not ageable for forever. But I've still got some down in the basement that it's like that. We really are.
I have such a soft spot for Ravenswood.
I think it might have been the first night we played marbles at my house.
Yeah.
Where we had quite a few bottles that night. And Barishia was one of them. Yeah. Have you had it since then?
I don't think so.
It's so chocolatey.
Barishia is really wonderful.
So chocolatey. It's like almost, it's almost like a dessert wine. It's so chocolatey. It's phenomenal. I mean, it's totally not a sweet wine. It's totally a savory wine, but the chocolate is just
so good. I think Ravenswood, and then I've told Rob this. For me, Dry Creek has such a special spot in my heart.
That's really good.
Every time we go on vacation, I ask him to take a couple of bottles of it because it is such a wonderful, wonderful wine. It is truly not that expensive. We just don't drink it that often either.
It's not expensive.
But it's so good.
Consistent.
And every year when we go to the beach, I'm like, Rob, pack a Dry Creek. We have to have one.
And here's the funny thing about that. We occasionally we're going to talk about that. And almost without fail, Rob's saying how much you like it. And I'm going, I love it too. It's probably the bottle I've bought the most of. And then eventually gets into you're talking about the Zin. I'm talking about the Fumé Blanc.
Oh, yeah, they're both delicious.
So it's like that, you know, historically, that's one of the ones for the
year. There's no flies on their Cabernet either. Now, their Mariner sucks.
Yeah.
I haven't
it's
had
it. It's just
either
so good. But I think
you've
it's,
had it.
I just look
the
at
Mariner.
This.
We did have the Mariner.
I look at this wall, and it's kind of like our journey through wine, and you feel so nostalgic about it.
was at the top, too. Didn't we have the Mariner at the top? No.
It was at that wine bar thing.
Correct.
Mm. Mm. So, for me, I what I had shared a little bit before. So, Turley, again, is like...
It's,
you just cannot compare.
No.
I mean, you couldn't put Numanthia in.
No.
Right? It's, like, it's just so much different.
But for things we've done on the show, it's difficult to even talk about this category. And I think we just, you know, you mentioned McManus. And
yep.
Particularly, you well, know, Rob mentioned a criteria that what caught us by surprise. Yep. And for years, we've mocked a certain person who mentioned McManus.
Well, McManus is really undervalued. This is so undervalued. It's a yeah. wine.
Yeah.
It is.
Steve Bodie.
Steve, fucking, hey, go fuck yourself.
Let me tell you about what I said in my blog where I mentioned my previous blog where I previously mentioned that McManus is undervalued.
Quoting myself.
Yes. But we found it to be surprisingly good, surprisingly consistent. Different varietals, yet we still have the peanut.
Yeah. I think, honestly, I think that my vote is for McManus. Another winery that, like, Duckhorn is, like, such, like, a staple of Napa. You would never, ever go wrong choosing that, and you wouldn't go wrong saying that's your winery of the year.
Fairness, that could put them over the top.
What?
Our endorsement.
Well, I just think like there's so many wineries that we've had that are really, really good. Someone like McManus that really surprised us, where our expectations were so low and yeah. we exceeded them. I feel like that's who we should give Winery of the Year to.
I concur.
And you know, similarly, I would say, you know, that the Heisman Trophy mm-hmm. goes to Turley just right. because it's fucking Turley mm-hmm. and. We're total schmoozers. But
we're total suckers for Turley.
It is what it is, mm-hmm. but that McManus wins the Davey O'Brien.
Yes, they do. So McManus, Winery of the Year. So yeah.
I think we should have a little special mention category.
Okay.
What?
Region or AVA of the Year. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to vote for Horse Heaven Hills. It's just, this last year, it has just cemented itself in my heart, into my palate. And it's like, you know, ad nauseum we've talked about, hey folks, you know, you can almost never go wrong with a budget price Spanish, whether it's a yeah. Tempranillo or whatever it is. I almost talk about Horse Heaven Hills the same way when I talk about wine to people.
I would agree. That would be one region I think that has put out the most in the value area, the most, well, the best wines, really, in that region. You have, well, at least Colombia. We'll just say Colombia, because Colombia also encompasses that. So you have CS, you have Mercer, you have the H3, you have so many things that we've had that are good that are all from there. So, yes, Horse Heaven Hills, Colombia, whatever you want to call it. Columbia Valley has had a good year, that's for sure.
And you know, it's a region and you know, the ABA or sub-ABA of Horse Heaven Hills, where I want to drink more of it, and I want to drink, you know, invest a little more money and buy some more of their high-end stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
what
excited about
your
it.
Your wine varietal of the year?
Pinot.
And I can see you guys headed that way because it's
no.
This has been a transformational varietal yeah. year for you.
Yeah, possibly. Sangiovese or Pinot?
When you said Pinot, I was like, that's really sweet because that would for sure be mine because I do feel like it's been like a huge open door for me. For you to pick something other than Sangiovese would be shocking to me.
Now, Sangiovese blends the Italian, especially towards the end of the year.
Well, it's been quite a few. He's just on a thing. Mm-hmm. It's been the wine of his quarter. It's the wine of his day. It's like, it's a pshaw.
And I think he also loves when he drinks a blend that hasn't. He's like, of course, this is Sangiovese. Like, he can just spot it.
I think it. No, I just.
Because I'm.
He's stuck on something. It's a mm-hmm. it's a mental block.
What's yours?
I'm stuck in the middle with you.
I'm going old school. It's Benz and Zinfandel. I've drank nothing more than Zinfandel this year. I'm hoping that this isn't, you know, the end of its run. We've had such a great period for Zinfandels. Mm-hmm. It's hard to go wrong. It's hard to find one that isn't at least good, if not really good.
Yeah.
It's hard to find a bad Zinfandel that's being produced that's got any kind of chops.
Why did I let myself down? My varietal year is Petit Verdot, just because. So, folks, with that.
I don't know if the microphone picks that up enough.
We're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. Folks, have you ever sat back and thought how you first heard of the Wine Vault? Well, we need your help reaching more listeners. What you can do is go to iTunes, give us a review, give us 5 stars, give us your thoughts and feedback.
So only with your help, folks, will more people learn about, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. The Nino Franco Rustico Prosecco Superiore from Italy. We're going to go around the room. We're going to start off with the Triple B, who's going to give it a review, a numerical score, as it were.
I know. I struggled with this, just like I struggle all the time when we get these reviews where everyone's like 94, 92, 91, 90. And I just don't believe it to be a 90 wine. I don't want to be like the wine guy and say I want it to be as crisp as a champagne. But I am missing that a little bit. This is still very, very good. Some of the notes that I wrote down. The lemon peel, I really, really love that a lot. To me, that's a very elevated flavor. You don't see that on your cheap,
no,
on your cheap drinks. The bubbles are great. I think it's accessible. I think it is a higher end drink, but at the same time, it's very approachable, which I feel like is not common and is like a total, you know, again, feather in their cap. And it is such a delight to drink. So for those reasons, I'm giving it an 89.
Hey, Rob, a wine guy, why you gotta be against this Italian Prosecco? What's the matter with you, son?
You haven't heard my score yet.
Why you gotta be varietal discriminatory against this Italian grape,
she's
man.
She's the one that gave it 89. Maybe I'm going to give it a 94.
She's open-minded.
And I notched it up when I thought more about that lemon peel.
Yeah. I'm in a similar place with you, except I am going to go with that number that starts with a 9, but a 90.
What?
But a 90. But I do think for what it is, Prosecco, it's the best thing I've ever had, and I don't know how many different Proseccos I've had. Most of them are cheap, but some of them have been not quite $20, but $15, $16, $17. I tried different Proseccos, and this is by far the best one I've ever had. I think it does. It's just short of being complex, but the aromas. I've still got bubbles going in my glass, and we're an hour into opening the bottle.
Yep.
That's outstanding. Yep. Now, they're diminishing, folks, but it's Prosecco. It's not champagne. It's not Rotor Estate Brut.
Say that again for Rob.
Jimmy, it's not champagne. But I do think it's...